Morning. Welcome this morning to Masechta Temura. We begin now the last series of Masechtas of Seder Kachin. This morning we start with the Gemara Temura. Temura is, again, another short Masechta. It's 34 blot of Gemara, 7 prakim of Gemara, and it deals with a couple of psukim in the Torah. Really not a lot of psukim to work with, but that's fine, meaning we find Masechtas that have no psukim in the Torah to deal with. So here we have a couple psukim that the Torah provides for us. Where do we find the mitzvah of Temura or the Isra of Temura? Right, we'll see. It's more Isra than mitzvah. So we'll find it at the end of Parshas Bechukos. In fact, we'll find it at the very end of Sefer Vayikra. The Torah says, The Torah puts together two separate issues. The Chomaser Bakar Vitzon Kol Asher Yavor Tachas Hashem Asiri Yeh Kodesh Hashem. Any animal, Bakar Vitzon, not any animal, but Bakar Vitzon that goes under the staff, the tenth one will be Kodesh Hashem. That should sound familiar. It should, because all you need to do is go back just a little bit before Erechin to the end of Becharos, and we spent the ninth parak of Becharos talking about the mitzvah of Maaser Behema. Good. Lo yivakir bein tov l'ra v'lo yimirenu. So the Torah says, don't pick and choose. Meaning, you know, the tenth that comes out has to be a random tenth. It has to be basically whatever is number 10, and you can't select. Right? Lo yivakir bein tov l'ra. And then the Torah, somewhat awkwardly, transitions into another mitzvah or isra in the Torah, and that's v'lo yimirenu. And don't do temura. V'im hamer yimirenu, v'ayahu smuraso yiyeh kodesh, lo yigael. However, if you do temura, so then it and its exchange will be kodesh, lo yigael, and it cannot be redeemed. There is a isser in the Torah. Let's call it an isser. Okay, it'll make our lives a lot easier. There's an isser in the Torah of temura. Temura is to exchange. You're not allowed to exchange one carbon for another carbon, right? And the Torah actually is very clear. Lo yimirenu. The Torah says you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to make this exchange between one carbon and another carbon. And the Torah says, and if you do, v'im hamer yimirenu v'ayahu smuraso yeh kodesh, it and its exchange will both have kedusha. Good. Okay, so let's start off over here. What's behind this prohibition of the Torah? Okay, so early in the parsha. You're right. There we go. Lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir aso tov b'ra rabbi tov v'im amir yamir behema bebehema v'yahu smur aso yeh kodesh. Perfect. Okay. Good. Torah over there says it as well. And mind you, we'll talk about this later on this morning. The Torah gives the double love. Right? The Torah says, lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir. Don't exchange and don't exchange. Okay. We'll talk a little bit about that later on this morning as well. The double exchange. Okay. All right. So it's a simple idea, meaning not so simple, but the basic idea of Temura is very straightforward. I have a carbon. Right now, I'm saying to myself, this animal over here, you know what? I'd like it not to be a carbon. Meaning, but I understand I made it a carbon. I can't just simply dissolve it. All right, I can't dismiss it. I can't ignore it. It's a carbon. So you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to take the kedusha from this animal and move it over to another animal. Okay? So the person then makes an attempt and he says, I would like to exchange the Gemara later on. We're going to go over all the Lashonos, all the different languages that we're going to use. But right now we're just speaking in basic idea. I'd like to exchange the Kedusha from this animal to that animal. So the Torah says, first off, don't do that. The Torah's first instructions is, no, lo yimirenu. Don't make that exchange. But then the Torah says, but you know what? If you do, v'lo yamir so tavra rabotov v'im hamir yamir behema bevehema v'ayahu usmuraso yeh kodesh. It and its exchange will be kodesh. We'll both have kedusha. Okay. Well, the Torah's first position is don't do it, meaning the Torah is speaking to you as a person. This is not something I want you to do. But if you do it, it is effective. Not today's daf. I believe we start the discussion tomorrow. Tomorrow or on Sunday, where what if when the Torah says not to do something, does it have any effectiveness? Here is a very good example where the Torah says don't do it, and meanwhile, if you do it, it's effective. I mean, but the Torah goes out of its way to say it is effective. In addition to that, you're going to get malchus because you violated this in the Torah. But on top of that, it also there's efficacy in what you have done. Now, we'll start this morning with a Rambam. It's a beautiful Rambam. The Rambam brings down the laws of Temura in the section of Karbanos, and it's four Prakim. Okay, so he's able to organize our entire Masechta into four basic Prakim. And at the end, the Rambam does this every now and then. At the end of a section, he talks a little bit about Tami HaMitzvos. Right? Let's see if we can understand this a little bit better. Afa Pisha Kol Chukei HaTorah. I'm reading from the Rambam. This is Perek Dalet, and this is Halacha Yud Gimel. Afa Pisha Kol Chukei HaTorah Gzeresim Kemo Shebiyanu B'Sof Me'ila. Look, right? You want to try to understand the laws of the Torah? The Chukim, meaning we don't fully understand the laws of the Torah. Roilis bonein mahen, but still we have a right to think about it. The chomasha tayachol iten lotam ten lotam, and if you can give some reason for mitzvahs in the Torah, so they were entitled to do so. Hari amru chachamim, hari shonim shemelech shlomo havin rovatamim shakol chukei haTorah. In fact, we have a tradition that Shlomo HaMelech knew tamei haMitzvah. Not all of them. In fact, the Rambam writes rov haTamim shakol chukei haTorah. A lot of the reasons, or most of the reasons of Chukei HaTorah. Yirli shezesh amar akasav ayaus morisei yekodesh. So he says, I think I'm going to offer now the following explanation of this story of Temura. And he says, it goes like this. Ke'inyin shamar v'yimamaktish yigalaz beiso v'yasav chemeshiso kesef erkecha alav. So the Rambam says, it's kind of like Erechin. Okay? Which, not Erechin, the mitzvah Erechin, but the One of the subject matters that we touched in Erechin, which is the following. You are makish your own house. You're poda your own house. Remember what we talked about? If you want to be poda, what do you have to do? You have to add on a fifth. Yarda Torah l'sof machsheves ha'adam uksas yitzra hara. What the Torah is doing is the Torah understands that we have yitzra hara, and the Torah is addressing our yitzra hara. Sheteva sheteva shakol adam no telaharbos kinyano v'lachos ha'mamono. It is human nature. We are hardwired, said the Rambam, that we like to gather things, and we like to collect kinyanim, money, the afa pishinet of hikdish afshe shechazerbo. Now look, when you consecrate a house, you're basically fighting your yetzahara, meaning you're saying, look, I have this house, it's my second house, it's my third house, I don't really need to live in it, you know what? Let me try to divest a little bit of myself, my worldly goods. So what you do is you makish your house and you say it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. But you have your Yetzirah and your Yetzirah is telling you, really, that's what you did? You gave up your house to what? To the Beis HaMikdash? Are you crazy? You know the market's going to come back up. You know your house is going to start having value once again. So you got to be kidding me. V'nichem v'yifteh bepachos mishavyav. And so what you're going to do is you're going to go back to the Beis HaMikdash and you're going to say, I'd like to buy my house back, but you're going to argue. Now you're going to handle. You're going to handle with the Beis HaMikdash. Well, you know, the house isn't really worth that much, and it's worth less. And again, this is Yetzer Hara. We all have it. So Amra Torah im padol atzmo yosif chomesh. So that's what the Torah says. That if you're going to redeem it for yourself, you got to tack on a fifth. Which, by the way, may be why also, again, according to this reason, why a fifth turns into a fourth. it then is more. Yeah, it's not 20%, 25%. Okay. V'cheinim hikdash behema kedusha sagol. Now, the Rambam says, yeah, right, you have the idea? The Torah understands our Yetzirah, and the Torah basically says, no, you did good by being makdash your house, leave it in the possession of the Beis HaMikdash. Now we move on to the story of Temura. And the Rambam writes, V'chim im hikdash behema kedusha sagov shem yachzer bo, v'chim shen yachliv dosa, yachlivim v'pchusam imenu. You just consecrated one of your animals as a carbon. And You look at that animal and you say to yourself, that's a really good animal. Really? I'm going to give that animal as a carbon? Right? No, come on. I'll tell you what. I have an animal sitting alongside, right alongside it. It's a little bit, you know, it's not as nice. It's not as plump. It doesn't look as good. But you know what? I'm going to exchange this carbon for that carbon. Okay? And what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu care? Meaning, it's still going to be a carbon.
He won't,
right. right. The intitain lo rishus la achliv harabi yafeh, yachliv hayafeh bara, v'yomer tovu. And so then what? So maybe the Torah will then say, so you know what? I'll let you make exchanges, but only upgrades, not downgrades. But the Rambam writes, if the Torah would have done that, the Torah understands. We have a Yetzirah, and the Yetzirah would then say, oh, I'm allowed to upgrade? Well, okay, so I'm going to downgrade. Meaning, it's a slippery slope. Lefichach sasam hakasav befanav shalo yachalif. So the Rambam says, so the Torah says, don't do it. Meaning, no hachlafa, no exchanges. Right? You buy it, you keep it. In this case, you makdish it, that's it. That's your carbon. And now, you cannot exchange it. The kanso im hechlif. Now, what if you do? So, the Torah gives you knas. So the way the Rambam puts it, it's beautiful, is that, I mean, obviously, you know, it's not good, but I'm just saying the way to understand it is beautiful. The way the Rambam puts it, what the Torah does is the Torah imposes a penalty. It is a knas. Where the Torah says, I told you not to exchange, and then you exchanged, so we're going to knas. Va'amar va'yahu usmura so yeh kodesh. And so now, not only is your original animal, which had kedushas aguf, not only does that remain kadosh, but this next animal that you thought to exchange, that also will be kadosh. And the purpose of this mitzvah is to subjugate our Yetzahara and to be mesaking and to rectify our deos, right? Our character traits, and to make sure that we really turn into like good people. Rov. Yeah, but that's. And I say, I understand that, but an assay usually requires an action. Here, v'ayahus merasoya kodesh, that's an effect. You don't have to do anything for that to happen, meaning that will happen. It's a totsa'ah. It's a result of it, but it's not, meaning lavan itak la'asay, I steal v'ayishav hazegzela. Now you have to go out of your way to return that which you stole. Right? If you leave over nosar, ba'ish tisrofa, now you got to burn it. Meaning it requires a new action to rectify that which you did here. It happens. The Rav Dina Atarina Ella Eitzos Merachok Megadol Eitzel Asakin Hadeos Liyasha Kol Amasim. And the Rambam writes, that's generally speaking the purpose of mitzvos. In other words, it's to correct us, it's to make us into people. V'cheinu Omer Alok Saftil Cha Shleishim Bamoatos V'deos Odiecha Kushan Ami Emes La'ashiv Amarim Emes L'shochecha. And hopefully the Rambam says I gave you a kernel of truth. Okay? So wonderful introduction to the world of Temura and the idea, according to the Rambam, that is behind Temura. Okay? And with that, we start. We had on Daf Beis Amid Aleph, opening up a new Masechta, and we start with the Mishnah. Hakom Amirim Echad Anashim Ve'Echad Nashim. Everyone can affect Temura, both men and women. Now, I read the Mishnah as the Gemara would like me to read it, meaning you could have read the Mishnah, Hakol Memirin, meaning everyone does Temura, both men and women. But you'll see. In other words, the way I read it, everyone affects Temura is the more proper way to understand the Mishnah. Stay with me as we get to the Gemara. The Gemara is going to explain that point. Lo sha'adam rashay lahamir. You're really not allowed to. Eloshim hamir mumar. But it means if you do, it works. The sofek is arba'im, and you're going to get malchus, and the malchus that you're going to receive is 40 lashes. One point before we go on to the Gemara, the Mishnah is very clear, 40 lashes. First of all, we all know 40 really means 39. Okay? 40 is code for 39. Maybe 40 is code for 80? Tosos makes that suggestion. Because when the Torah presents to us the mitzvah, the iser of Temura, the Torah actually gives us two lavin. The Torah says that, right, kol asher yitei mimen la'ashem yeh kodesh lo yachalifenu v'lo yamir oso. Exchange. Hachlafa. Huh? And tomorrow is exchange. So, now, what's the
exchange?
Basically.
Yeah.
Don't exchange.
Yep.
Substitute and exchange.
No, it's
exchange. Okay. Basically the same. Now, well, we always, before Malchus ever is administered, we always do a physical. Physical is always done before Malchus is. So 80 doesn't mean 80, but yeah. So is there one lav? Is there two lavs? So Tosus talks about the second Tosus on the Amud. V'im tom amaylo tini shmonim. Tosus says, why not 80? The haksev lo yachlifen of lo yamir so. So Tosus makes two suggestions. V'yishlam adalo nachas leminyam malkios. Elaklam adalaki aleham. Answer number one says Tosfos, yeah, you're right, 80. Meaning, when the Mishnah says Sofek is Harabayim, that just simply means Malchus. That's Malchus. Meaning Malchus, right, the number 40 over here is just it's a simon. It just means you're getting Malchus. Malchus means 40. And maybe just, in other words, if I may add to this point of Tosfos over here, meaning we know there are two types of Malchus. There's Malchus min HaTorah and there's Malchus min HaRabbanan, what's called Malchus Mardus. How much is Malchus Mardus? So there's no number, meaning whatever the Chachamim deem fit. Right. So whatever number the Chachamim choose. So Arbaim just simply means it's Malchus min HaTorah. So it could very well be that 40 in our Mishnah just simply means 80. I mean, yeah, you're right. Lo yamir v'lo yachlifenu. Double Malchus. V'od yeshlam ad lo'olam lo'laki ela Arbaim v'trei la'avi tzricha chabikam ishlo v'chabi shal chaveru k'gon darmer kol arot v'lahamir v'lo yamir. There's a Gemara coming up later on in Daf Tes and Temura, where the Gemara is going to suggest that maybe these two psukim reflect two different circumstances of Temura. So your animal, your friend's animal, we'll talk more about that later on in the Masechta. Maybe there are two separate lavin, which would make sense because otherwise, hard to understand. Right? You asked me the question, in terms of definition, what's the difference? It sounds very similar. So later on in the Masechta, we'll suggest maybe that they actually reflect two separate lavin. The Gemara says, I'm a little bit confused. Hagufa kasha, amart hakol mamirim lechatchila. The Mishnah starts off with hakol mamirim, right? If I can hearken back to the beginning of Chulin, hakol shochtin. And then you remember we had that discussion, right, of all the hakols you find, right? I'm sorry, that's the beginning of Erchin, okay? Right, the beginning of Erchin, all your hakols. And every hakol is a mitzvah. Hakol is telling you, this is what you need to do. But the Gemara says, but I'm so utterly confused because you don't need to do Temura. In fact, you shouldn't do Temura. In fact, the Torah says it's a lav. V'hadutini lo shadam rasha l'amir. Di'avad. V'tizbara akom amir l'chatkila adikash lach memasif and tishalach kra. So the Gemara says, look, it's a good question, but before your confusion started with the Mishnah, meaning if you just read the psukim, you would have been confused because the Torah already says lo yachlifenev lo yamir oso. So why do you need a Mishnah to be confused? You can already be confused by the Torah, where already the Torah says don't do it, and meanwhile the Mishnah says hakol mamirin. So, okay, I guess the Gemara's issue is where should your starting point of confusion be? So Amrav Yehuda Hakiktani. So the Gemara says, okay. So you know what? Pshat in the Mishnah will go like this: Hakol Matfisin B'Tmura Echan Anashim VeEchan Anashim. When the Mishnah says Hakol Mamirin, it does not mean everyone should be doing this. Nobody should be doing this. But Hakol Matfisin B'Tmura, anyone who does this will have effectiveness. We are only discussing the efficacy of the act, not the permissibility of the act. The act is not permissible. Just I want to know: does it work? Yeah. It works. And not only does it work if a man were to do it, it also would work if a woman were to do it. You're not allowed to, right? The Mishnah just wants to make sure that we're clear about this issue, even though the Pasuk already says so. The Mishnah wants to make sure we're clear about this issue. You're not allowed to do it, but if you do it, it would work. Good. Hakol la'asuye mai. Now we get to an issue which we've discussed in the beginning of Erchin at length. We know hakol is code. Code for... it's coming to include somebody. Somebody who you might have thought made it to the invite list is actually on the invite list, although this is not such a good invite list, as this is now we're discussing the Isser of Temura. But who did you think was out, right? For those of you who speak NCAA, right? Who's on the bubble, right? And if you don't understand that reference, then you're in better shape than I am. So hakol lasuye mai lasuye yoresh udalok rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says the yoresh, somebody whose father had a karban, right, set aside a karban, and Rachman al Salan, he died before having to bring the karban. Under certain circumstances, the son can bring the karban. He's a yoresh. He inherits the karban and has the responsibility, the obligation to bring a karban. Now, once he has the obligation to bring the karban, how his is the karban? Right? In other words, it's his father's karban. It's not his karban. In other words, and we also know that he inherits all of his father's possessions. How much does he inherit dad's karban? Now, you have to understand, it's not like any other assets that dad owned, because the other assets that dad owned, dad actually owned. So when dad dies, so the assets go to the son. And there's a full transfer of possession. By karban, that's not the case. When dad was makdish the karban, it's no longer his. He's a trustee of the karban. He has a responsibility to bring the karban, and the karban is assigned to him, but it's not really his. So when dad dies, and the son, and the karban now goes over to the son, how much of a transfer are we really talking about? And this has application in what we're discussing right now. Meaning we know that only an owner can perform tamura. We know that only an owner can do the mitzvah of smicha. So can our yoresh, the son who inherited the karban, can he affect tamura? Can he do the mitzvah of smicha? So the Gemara, it's machlokas tanayim. So detanya did nam, we learned in a brisa, samech yoresh. I'm sorry, yoresh, samech yoresh meimir. Divrei Rav Meir. So Rav Meir says that when a person inherits his father's karban, he can affect tamura. Again, not that he should. We're just talking about the effectiveness. He can affect tamura, and he does the mitzvah of smicha, meaning he takes the role of his father in vis-a-vis the karban. And Rav Yehuda Amar Yorishena Samech V'Yorishena Meimir. And Rav Yehuda says no. And so what we're learning in our mission, when our mission says Hakol Memirin, it harks to this debate of Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir, and it takes the side of Rav Meir. We enjoy that because Tam Mishnah Ka Rav Meir. Our mission is an anonymous Mishnah, and we like the idea that our Mishnah follows the viewpoint of Rav Meir, so it fits into what we generally say about a Stam Mishnah. And now the Gemara says, as long as we're here, so let us now delve into this debate just a little bit. My time at the Rav Yehuda, Yalef Tchilas Hektesh Misof Hektesh. So Rav Yehuda says, because we're going to learn out the beginning of Hektesh from the end of Hektesh. Now in this context, Rashi says, sometimes you'll see tomorrow called Sof Hektesh, sometimes you'll see tomorrow called Tchilas Hektesh. It's just a question of context and what you're learning right now. So, or what we're comparing it to. So we're comparing tamura to smicha. Smicha, you understand, is done right before I shech the karban. So in this context, that's sof hektesh. Tamura is the beginning of an animal assuming the kedusha. So in this context, we're going to call it tchilas hektesh. Although you can't affect tamura unless you already have a karban, which is already invested with kedusha. So in other contexts, you could call it sof hektesh. But right now, we're calling it tchilas hektesh. Yalav tchilas hektesh misof hektesh. Masof hektesh, yorish eno somech av tchilas hektesh, yorish eno meimir. So just like a yorish doesn't do the mitzvah of smicha, so too he can't affect tamura. Okay, but only leads us to the next point of the Gemara. Usmicha gufa min olan. Okay, but where do you know that you can't do smicha? Tlas karbano ksiv. It says the word karbano three times. Parshas Vayikra, Perek Gimel. Three times the Torah says karbano. If you follow that perek in Vayikra, you'll see it goes through the animals. The large animals, the small animal, the small animal. So every single time the Torah goes through, outlines the halachas, it says the word karbano, and there has to be a possessive nature to a karban in order to do the mitzvah of smicha. Chad karbano v'lo karbano v'kochavim, chad karbano v'lo karban chavero, v'chad karbano v'lo karban aviv. Once, your karban, not a guy's karban, your karban, not your friend's karban, meaning if you are asked to offer a karban by proxy, and so you are a shliach of your friend's karban, you don't do the mitzvah of smicha. And three, karban avalo, karban aviv, not your father's karban, because you are not the possessor of that karban. It's basically your proxy. You're going to offer up your father's karban, but not as a owner of the karban, just simply as a shliach. Ula Rav Meir Dama Yoresh Shomech V'Haksiv Karbano. So now, good. That's all Rav Yehuda. What if you're a mayor, and what do you, the fact that you have these three drushas? Ha'omi bai lele rabos kol balechovim l'smicha. So he says, no, because I take that last karbano, and I apply the following. Let's say you have a karban that is partnered by more than one owner. Two or three people combined, put their funds together to buy a karban, which you can do. And so now you have a karban that's brought in partnership by a group of people. And now I don't own the entire carbon. I only owe percentage of the carbon. I only have shares in the carbon. As a shareholder of the carbon, do you do the mitzvah smicha? So Rav Yehuda says that's carbono. Carbono is teaching us that even though you don't have full ownership, even though you only have part ownership, and it doesn't even have to be 50%, it could be less than 50%, nevertheless, you're going to do the mitzvah of smicha. And Rav Yehuda just simply says no, meaning I don't agree with that halacha. My time of the halom yachi carbon didu, because it's not exclusively yours. There's no yichud. There's no designation that you're the owner, and therefore there's no smicha. Ibai Sema the Gemara suggests maybe Rav Yehuda, in fact, agrees. Ibai Sema laolam islay carbon ovekochavim. I'm sorry, islay. That Rav Yehuda agrees that even if you're just a shareholder of a karban, you're going to do the mitzvah smicha. So if that's true, you have to now, remember, we only have three drushas. So we're going to have to assign a halacha to each one of the drushas. So, the karban of v'kochav, the karban chaver, v'char karnafka. So what we're going to do is we're going to consolidate. A guy's karban and your friend's karban are rooted in one karbano. Then we have a second karbano for not your father's carbon, and we have a third carbon for Balei Chovrin. Okay, so it's just a reshuffling, it's a repackaging of the drashas. Okay. Rameir Dama Yorish Meimir, my time up. Now, let's go to Rameir. Rameir says that a Yorish is Meimir. He can affect Temura. So, the Torah says, Im Hamer Yamir, the double Lashon used in the Torah. If you are Yamir, Meimir. And now we're going to go the other direction, meaning now in the world of Temura, we know that a Yorish can affect Temura. So now by Smicha, we know that a Yorish can affect Smicha. V'Rav Yehuda, hi, v'im hamir, yamir ma'avidlei. Now Rav Yehuda, who disagrees with this line of thinking, what does he do with the Pasuk? L'rabos es ha'isha. Well, the Hamir Yamir, the double language, is coming to include a woman. Look, the entire pasuk is only dealing with the male. Lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir. The yachalifenu, that's lashon zachar. I might have thought that this only applies to men, not to women. Ishami nine time alamer the im Hamir Yamir, the double lashon l'rabos es ha'isha. U li Rabbi Meir. Isha minale, nafkale mi v'im. What about Rabbi Meir? What does he get it from? He gets it from the v'im, the extra v'im, which apparently is superfluous, and so therefore that comes to include women. Rabbi Yehuda, v'im lo darishan. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I don't darshan the word v'im. In other words, I do not feel.
What is
it
called?
Huh?
What
is it called? Together from hakol. Hakol is not a lashon of the pasuk. Hakol is a lashon of the Mishnah. No, because the Mishnah says Hakol Mamirin, and no, because you want to suggest that Hakol is coming to include women. I understand, but the problem with that is the Mishnah then says Echad Anashim Echad Nashim. So then you don't need the Hakol. So the Hakol must be alluding to somebody else. So the Yorish. Okay. So quick wrap up. So far in the Gemara, we have a Mishnah that says that everyone can affect Temura. The word Hakol. The Hakol is including somebody who I might have thought not to have included. So the Gemara says it's according to Rav Meir, a Yorish can affect Temura. Our Mishnah is alluding to the Yorish, and Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir disagree about this point. Our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir, not like Rav Yehuda. And then the Gemara goes through a series of how each one of them darshins, Rav Meir darshins that a Yorish can do Temura. And Rav Meir says that he can do Temura, can affect Temura, and Rav Yehuda says that he cannot affect Temura. And then, while we were on that discussion, the Gemara then also pointed out They both include women in the Parsha of Temura, just a question of how to include women in the Parsha of Temura. One gets it from the double lashon of Amir Yamir, and the other one gets it from the extra word of Ve'im. Good. The Gemara then takes a step back, and the Gemara says, let's think about this for just a moment. Without that extra drasha, however you want to get there, we had a consideration that women are not included in Temura. That's strange, right? What is Temura? So although I hesitated in the beginning of today's daf, but I came around to calling it an Isser. An Isser in the Torah.
It's a lav.
It's a lav. Right. Women are included in all lavin. Okay, now you know every time I say a rule, you know there's always exceptions to the rule. So there's exceptions to this rule as well. Women are not included in every lav. But the Mishnah in Kedushin tells us which lavin women are not included in. Three lavin that a woman are not included in. Okay, this isn't one of them. Two of them have to do with... The three are, two of them have to do with hair. The woman does not have a prohibition of cutting off the corners of her head, meaning she doesn't eat payas. And the shaving of the beard. And she's not including that prohibition, right? And number three is Tumas Kohen, that a woman Kohen does not have to worry about Tumah. A woman Kohen. An Ashes Kohen, a Bas Kohen, meaning she can go to a cemetery. She can come into contact with a mace, and a male cannot. Okay, those are the three exceptions. Okay, good. But this isn't one of them. So the Gemara is going to ask a very simple question, and it's a very good question. Why do I need an extra pasuk to tell me that women are included in the mitzvah or in the Isser of Temura? What else would I have thought? Never should do it. Lo yachlifa nevelo yamir. And that's why, in other words, the Torah was sensitive to that fact. The Torah says, right, lo yachlifa nevelo yamir, oso tov b'ra'u rabitov. Meaning, even if you have a bad animal, right, and you'll say to yourself, oh, okay, good, I'm going to transfer to a better one, right? That's what, like, we talked about in the Rambam. Meaning, and the person's a good guy. The Torah says, no, don't do it. If it has a bamum, so then you're going to be poda. Now, you can't always be poda, but most of the time you can. So you'll be poda. You'll redeem the animal, and now you can eat the animal in your privacy of your own home. But you can't exchange.
Then
you have to do pigeon. You can't offer it up on the mizbeach. Okay, so why? Why would I have thought to have excluded women from the Isser of Temura? Gemara's next question. Temura. Very good. That's a very good point. That's an excellent point. We're going to talk about that later in the Masechta. The Gemara later on will discuss the difference between Temura versus Pidgin.
Right. Pidgin's an extra
different language.
Right.
It's the language.
The language becomes extraordinarily important, but you're
an extra step in Pidgin. You do it to money first.
You see, here's where Hedy's right. Because when you do Pidgin, you don't have to be poda onto money. You could be poda onto another item as well. As long as the item has value. In theory, it's going to sound strange. We're going to talk about this later on. It's a much more subtle discussion. But in theory, you could be poda onto another animal.
But if it's only as a moon.
You're correct. But you could also do temura.
Yeah.
No, but I'll tell you where the conversation is going to get a little technical. You could also do temura if the animal has a mom.
Right. Okay.
So, and then the language you use is going to be very important. I'll tell you what. Let's table this discussion. It's already okay. The Amar, I'm sorry. Ubein Rav Meir, Ubein Rav Yehuda, Time de Rabbi Kra Leisha, Halo Rabbi Kra, Hava Mina Ki Abdu Temura Lo Lakia. So the Gemara says, what's the Hava Mina that we were engaging in? That women are not to be included in the Isser of Temura, and so, but we have the double lashon, or we have the ve'im. But why are we having that discussion? What prompted us to even think that women are not included in this Isser? V'ham Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Chentana de Rav Yishmael Ish O Isha Ki Asim Mikol Chatos HaAdam Hishva Hakasav Isha LeIsh LeChol Onshin SheBetorah. They are equal for all Onshin SheBetorah. So Itzrich Ma'udetei Mahani Mila Onish Teshava Ben Biyach Ben Mitzibor. So the Gemara says, Here's why the Hava Mina works. Again, it's the Hava Mina, but here's why it works. Because I would have thought that the equation of men to women are only by universal lavin. Now that's my term, you don't have to like it. But universal lavin, meaning lavin that apply both to an individual and to a community, meaning it is, oh, it always applies. But here, Temura is not universal. Why not? Because Temura, as an individual, I can affect Temura. If you have a carbon seabor, can you affect Temura with a carbon seabor? We'll learn later on. The answer is going to be no. So you see already that it's a limited lav. So since because it's a limited lav, so once the limitations on the lav, I might have thought women are to be excluded. That's the Havamina that explains why I would have thought women to be excluded, and that's why I have a special pasuk that brings women back into the world of Temura. Okay, a couple of interesting questions coming up to finish up today's daf. What if you're a minor? Can you affect Temura if you're a minor? Now, sorry. That was me just not looking inside and just reading. Let me do that again. So the Gemara starts off by saying, look, first of all, right, that's why I ignored everyone's questions, because I knew the Gemara's next line is going to answer. Okay, I apologize for ignoring. But if we're talking about somebody who is a 9, 10, right, it can't affect hekdesh, so there's no discussion to even get started.
Can they even own can a minor own an animal?
In other words, first of all, Dakadayin could have an entire state.
Right.
So, the Gemara says that's okay. Let's not even entertain that discussion. You can't affect Ella Kika Mibayla Bekanshi Gilonas Nedarim. Okay, so here's where the discussion gets good. Meaning, look, we know that in the world of Nedarim, if you're 12 years of age, we're talking about boys right now. Right, young men, if you're 12 years of age and you understand things, right, you're a little precocious. And we learned the Nedarim, we're going to repeat it right now. You can make a Neder. And that Neder works on the Araisa level. Now, if you can make a Neder, you know what that also means? You can make a Karban. Right? A Neder and Karban are very similar in thought, in idea. Making basically, I'm taking something and I'm giving it status. That's what a neder is, really. Now, usually neder is, now I'm not making a neder right now because I really would like to finish this cup of coffee. A neder would be, this cup of coffee is prohibited to me. Yeah. It's, again, all under the disclaimer of, yeah, it's not. But, and basically what I did is, I turned the coffee into, I gave it status. Right, I made it hektish. Good. So if the 12-year-old boy who understands what he's doing, if he can make a neder, he can also be makdish. Good. Now we're going to move on to the next step. Can he affect Temura? Because that's really what Temura is. Temura is affecting hekdesh.
Expanding.
Right, expanding hekdesh. But you know what also Temura is? It's a lav. It's a negative prohibition. A 12-year-old, although he can make a neder and he can affect hekdesh, but he's not subject to onshin. He's not going to get punished. So essentially, what the Gemara's question is, I really enjoy this: is Temura more an act of being makdish, or is it more a lav? And here the litmus test for that question is going to be our 12-year-old boy.
Would you say that since there's no onish, the lav doesn't apply?
That's what the Gemara is suggesting. That's exactly what the Gemara is suggesting. Because maybe Temura, in essence, is more a lav than it is an act of hektesh. Meaning, the Torah acknowledges work.
But does that principle hold that if there's no punishment, there's no prohibition?
Right. It's a good question. I mean, essentially, that's what the Gemara wants to know over here. Me, I'm reading Kevin Da Mamai, Ish Matamalam Kiafli Nedal Rabbas Muflasa Machlish, Dikacho Kadosh. So the Gemara first establishes fact. A 12-year-old boy who understands what he's doing can make something hektesh. Good. Now that we know that, so can he affect Temura? Mida Akdushe Makdish Amure Nami Meimir. The fact that he could be Makdish also means that he can affect Temura. Because Temura is basically that. It's, well, you said it beautifully, it's expanding Hekdesh. Oh, Dilma, Kevin, the La Baronchen, who, but tomorrow, Lo Matfis. On the other hand, no. He's not a Baronish. He's not going to get punished yet. And Temura is not just expansion of Hekdesh, it's also an Esther in the Torah. It's a Lav. And he's not a Baronchen. And yeah, essentially what the Gemara is asking is, if you're not going to get punished, maybe you're not going to be able to affect Temura, because Temura, in essence, is more a Lav than it is an act of being Makdish. Good. Now, stop. Meaning the Gemara asked the question by Katan, and Imtim Salama, the Gemara is going to move on. Meaning, Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Here is a comment by Rashi over here. Just give me a moment to find it.
It's a very crucial question.
Yeah, right. Why is it left behind? Because the Gemara does that.
Why is it going to be delayed? They want
a very important bottom line.
No, no, he's expanding the question.
Okay. Rashi is that first long line of the Gemara, right underneath the Gemara. Ve'afilim tim salam akan avi tamura, rebusa asa lashmin of alom ishim di isa hachi. Meaning, Rashi over here says that this next question is not built off the last question, meaning, but the Gemara is going to continue to ask. Usually we say imtim salamar is like a build on, meaning we're going to build on the previous question. So the Gemara says, let's assume that a katan can affect Temura because eventually he'll be a bar onish. Right? One more year, and then he's going to be a bar onish. Oved kochavim mahu sheyamir. A oved kochavim, can he affect Temura? A non-Jew. Now,
why can't you say that one day he would convert also?
Wait. So again, let's first establish the fact. Fact. A non-Jew can bring a carbon. We've said this many times in Seder Kadshim, that he can. In other words, a non-Jew can point to an animal and say, I'd like to bring this on the Mizbeach in Yerushalayim. And he could do that. Now, he's limited. He can only bring an Ola, but nevertheless, so he can affect a carbon. So once we know that he can affect a carbon, so why not do Temura? Because Temura is basically that. It's just expanding carbon, making more carbon. Nami Mamer, O Dilma Kemet Alas, Lechla Onchin, Kiava Temura, Lo Kacha. On the other hand, however, there's no Onish. And for him, right, and despite what you, I know what you're about to say, and for him, there's no opportunity for Onish, meaning, as opposed to the 12-year-old who's going to graduate in a year, and graduation just simply means he lives, right? He's going to graduate in a year to become a Bar Onish, but the, what's happening today? What's so exciting? It's 7:45 in the morning. I don't know. Anyway, it's later than that. Okay. Anyway, but the non-Jew, even though he can make carbon, but he's never going to be a baronchin as a guy. He can convert, but then he's a born again. So he's never going to be able to affect. He's never a baronchin. So the Gemara says again on this, we move on. Meaning both questions, the cotton question and the guy question, can they affect Temura? The Gemara says, I do not know. The katan.
Now, the fact that this thing stipulates.
Yeah, but.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but. In other words, certain things. Okay, well, it's a very good question. Let me just finish up. The Gemara quotes a Braisa. And the Braisa says like this: when you have a carbon of a non Jew, it's not subject to Me'ila and Pigel and Noser and Tameh, and it doesn't affect Temura, and you don't, and he can't bring Nesachim, although you do. We're going to be responsible for the Nesachim, but he doesn't bring the Nesachim. That's Divrei Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, B'kulani Ro, Lahachmir. And Rabbi Yossi says, I will be Machmir in all of these scenarios, meaning it is subject to Me'ila, Pigel, Noser, and Tameh. It can affect Temura, and he does bring Nesachim, and Bamedra Mamun Bekashim Mizbech. Now, of course, all this is by Kashim Mizbech. Ava Bekashi Bedek Habayis Ma'alan Behen. However, if a guy donates to the Beis HaMikdash, it's subject to the Isra of Me'ila, because that for sure is now property of the Beis HaMikdash. But Kitani Miha, after quoting that Braisa, what did you see in that Braisa? Clearly, Ein Osin Tamura. That according to Rabbi Shimon, it cannot affect Tamura. Virami Bar Chama. So now, if that's true, so the Gemara says, so the question that started off this whole discussion, the question that was asked by Rami Bar Chama, who I've noticed throughout Shas is our resident questioner, right? You'll see very often Rami Bar Chama asks, and Rami, right? And usually he? Rav is the one who gives the answer. So the Rami Bar Chama, behiktesh ovi kocham lizkaper ovi kochavim lo kami baili. So the Gemara says, look, I know. Meaning if a non-Jew makes it hektesh, and he's the one who's receiving the kapara, so to say, meaning it's for him, you're right. Lo kami baili. I didn't ask that. Ki kami baili, behiktesh ovi kochavim umizkaper bi Yisrael. That the question is like this. What if he sponsors a carbon? Meaning a Jew needs to bring a carbon for whatever reason or would like to bring a carbon. And he sponsors the carbon. So now this always becomes the question in any type of sponsorship. Right? Who has say? The sponsor or the person that's being brought on behalf of? So the Gemara here actually gives very clear delineations. And the Gemara says, here's what we know. Hamakdish Mosif Chomish. Now, when you're asking the question of who the owner is vis-a-vis Chomesh, it's the Makdish, the one who actually sanctifies. Meaning, again, we're talking about a scenario where somebody is paying for somebody else, or sponsorship. So in the question of who's the owner for Chomish, so it's going to be the Makdish, the one, the sponsor, the guy providing capital. Umiskaper osa Tamura. Who can affect Tamura, interestingly enough, the Miskaper, the one receiving atonement. He's the one that can affect Tamura. Vis-a-vis the laws of Tamura, it's his carbon. What if you're taking off Truma for somebody else? Right? In other words, you're sponsoring somebody else's truma. He needs to take off truma, and you say, you know what? I like my next door neighbor. We're really good friends. I'm going to take off truma for him. Who gets that ability to determine who the recipient's going to be? Right? That tova sana. Tova sana shalo, again, the sponsor, the one paying. So I'm going to lay house and dekasi mikol chisra, mishum hachi azlin and basa miskaper. Vavali tchalasa vasofa biyad yisra. So the Gemara says, that's not going to answer our question. Our question is, what if the guy is a sponsor? You see, even though Rabbi Abahu, who quotes the name of Yochanan, is very clear, that if I have a Jew sponsoring another Jew, so let's say I'm funding a carbon for somebody else, and Rabbi Abahu says very clearly that Miskaper is the one who affects Tamura, but in this equation, both you and I are bar hachis. We're both Jews, but aval hacha hacha kami baile mibi ina mitchila v'atzofo deteku birushus manda avitamura. Here, however, when the guy is a sponsor, it's not that clear, because when the guy is a sponsor, that means that the carbon started, so to say, in the possession of somebody who can't affect tamura. So, here I'm wondering out loud: can I do that? Can I have the carbon start by a guy being brought on behalf of a Jew so the entirety of this carbon is not biyad, somebody who can do tamura? So can the miskaper over here do tamura? That's the Gemara's question, and that the Gemara ends off with teku. The Gemara says, I do not know. Okay, good. So today we established the Isser of tamura. We read the Rambam this morning in terms of what's behind the Isser of tamura. We talked about who's included in the Isser of Tamura. We talked about the Machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda about the Yoresh. Our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir, that a Yoresh can affect Tamura, which by dint also means that he could do Smicha as well. And then we went on to discuss why I would have thought women were to be excluded from the Isser of Tamura. We included them. And finally, we finished off with two questions in the Gemara today. Can a minor, when we say minor, we mean a 12-year-old, can he affect Tamura? Because he can be Makdish. And can a guy affect Tamura? Because he can be Makdish as well, but he doesn't get Onshin. And so on these last two questions, the Gemara concludes, take good. I didn't look it up. And I have it right here also. Okay, so that's my homework.